Cheers, Adam. Cheers, Joshua. Here's to pond life in August.
Yeah, the curious case of the ponds of pond life in July.
So we life theme, which basically means you choose a theme each month and then do things related to that theme. And my mum's suggestion, which is a great one, was ponds for August, or pond life to be specific. And it's been a great month.
It's been a lovely month, but I would never have thought to have chosen a pond to spend my time focusing on for a whole month. But there we have it. I just have.
Yeah, and there's been a break from the rain, so we've grabbed the opportunity to come and do this podcast sat outside by an actual pond that my mum dug, and we've just sprinkled it to hopefully coax the frogs out.
You never know. You might hear a ribbit at some point. But we do have our own little Moogie. She's always with us for this. She's on our, or on my lap, eating some grass and hopefully some freshly plucked parsley from beside the pond.
Yeah, and she's this time she's on the dressing gown rather than in her dressing gown. But we're doing a slightly different podcast today. It's all about ponds, and we're going to have things to ponder. So I've got things that I'm certainly going to keep pondering after this month, but instead of me telling you about that, I'm going to invite you to ponder them with
We
me, and
can
vice versa.
ponder together. So I'm going to introduce my things just in one word each of things I'm going to ponder.
Oh, I didn't prepare that.
But you can think on the spot. But my five things are: I'm going to ponder the definition of a pond. I'm going to ponder memory of ponds. I'm going to ponder meditation of a pond or on a pond. I'm going to ponder some lyrics. And finally, I'm going to ponder an artist linked to a pond. So there's five things I've been thinking about this month. I'm going to share in this podcast. How about you, Joshua?
And we're going to ponder together. Weirdly, you said one of mine, so I'm going to change the word. One of mine will be, one of mine will be destiny.
To ponder destiny, yeah.
One of mine will be ice. One of mine will be Quilk Gate. And one of mine will be Walden.
Ah, yes.
And one of mine will be, fuel.
Okay, well,
So, who shall go
exciting.
first? Well, we ain't got no wheel to spin or nothing like that.
No.
And it's nice to drink this little beer which
This is
has a pond on
called,
its label.
well, it's called Hop Hand Fallacy, which doesn't have pond in the title. It's very difficult to find a drink or even a food related to a pond. We did have some, but this nice picture of a fox and a hippo with wings
Oh.
sit on a pontoon of sorts above a body of water, which I said to Joshua looks a bit like a pond.
Well, I'm sure it
Let's
is.
get this. I think it is. So
So, should we, who'd like to go first?
maybe I'll go first with the definition.
Okay.
I've been pondering over the month and talking to a few friends whom I've seen in July, but what would be the definition of a pond? What would you say is the definition of a pond, Joshua?
Well, from what I remember, there isn't a fully agreed definition, but it's something to do with the shallowness and breadth of surface area, which means it has a certain type of life, so it's flourishing with life, but not with life that would be happy in a longer term place like a deep lake, because a pond could freeze over completely and it could dry out
Yes.
in a drought. So it's kind of that temporary kind of life, but more life than a puddle.
Bigger than a puddle, smaller than a lake, more temporary or transient. So the life that exists around a pond is more agile or more robust, perhaps.
Yeah, definitely more. Yeah, I like that. More kind of robust and ready to adapt in harsh conditions if need be.
So would like your typical pond life being the frog spawn or the boatman would they be more kind of robust than other insects that would be in the lake?
I don't know much about boatmen, for example, but I like to think that in an icy winter, they probably wouldn't do that well, but their little eggs would probably be able to freeze and...
Their little egg sacs.
Yeah, and probably be able to freeze and manage to survive a harsh, cold winter.
Ooh,
and then the next spring, they'd pop out again.
There's a lot of women interested in freezing their eggs, aren't there?
Yeah, totally not what I'm thinking about. We're talking about, you know, just tiny little creatures like water boatmen might be able to survive, even if they were all killed off by a harsh hoar frost. Then they would still be able to...
I'm still thinking about women, funny enough, as you say that.
They would still be able to survive. Because they just pop back into life the next time, probably nice. The same as frogs.
I read in this pond book that you got, the pond book by Valerie Porter. No, yes, it is Porter. That because ponds are shallow, the sunlight is able to penetrate through the water a lot deeper and quicker than in a lake, so that it reaches right down to the depths, and that brings about more life as well.
Nice. So, well, that was a very nice thing to ponder. Yeah. Oh, Moogie, the guinea pig, is her eyes are shutting.
Yeah, she does a nice nibble of grass, and now she's just having a little snooze as we move on to our second subject, Joshua, that you would like to ponder.
Well, I'm going to ponder fuel, and it's my mum's fuel. Now, what was it that fueled my mum to dig this lovely pond?
I think she, like many of us, like to have some water in our lives, some form of water to because water is spiritual, isn't it? It's a different type of nature and landscape, and it has that dimension that you don't find in earth or air or fire. So I think she was hankering for something moist.
Because it was an interesting thing, because apparently she woke up and one day she was just like, I'm going to dig a pond. And she already, of course, had, because there's two ponds in the garden, she had the one from Joe. And then there's this other one that's just slightly bigger. But it's, I think it was just interesting that she had all this energy, and she's quite surprised herself by... But yeah, I think you're right. There must be something, the deep kind of hankering after something. It's very peaceful. Weird how a garden suddenly becomes more of an oasis just with a little pond in it.
It's that dimension, isn't it, that it brings in. It's physical, but of course I think everything has different qualities which are invisible. And I think just having this water here has some emotional and spiritual kind of quality to this garden as well.
Mm. It's a bit like the opposite of an island, which was last month's theme, where in the middle of an ocean you get an island, and that kind of draws up all these currents and all these different kind of energies to it, and life flourishes around an island. And the same in a garden, it draws all different types of life towards it when there's a steady water kind of thing there. Mm. So look at it now, like, not just... We know there's frogs and stuff in there, but all the plants around it.
Yeah.
It's just bursting with life.
Yeah. Lovely.
Right, so...
So fuel. And your father now is having a pond as well.
Mm. Yeah, Dad and Anne have got a pond as well. So it's more like an interesting one. It's like a raised one. And I'm sure someone else is getting... Oh, Alexandra's
got a bird pond. Yeah.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that leads, shall I go next? Because I've got another one.
We can do two in a row each. Yeah, go for it.
And that leads to you and I. So the thing I'm curious to ponder is, what is it that makes it hard for us to sit and sort of meditate, but sort of kind of just be still and watch the pond? I think, but you've done it once this month. I've hardly done it at all.
I've done it a couple of times.
But
Yeah.
I think it's partly because I think it would be lovely for us when we get settled in a place to have our own pond.
Yes.
But I also know that we're always on the go and looking for something new to do and packing our weekends full of adventures and like things, even if it's just like walking around the block. But like, so what do you think it is that's a barrier to us sitting still and just being present and appreciative of a simple thing like a pond?
Well, I think you make this sound very black and white, like we never sit and take stock or meditate at all or stop. Would you say we're always on the go?
Not always, but I know that I would have liked to have thought I'd have spent more time sitting meditating by ponds than I have this month.
Yes. Well, is your reasoning that you've been very busy?
No. My reasoning is that I'm quite, short attention span.
Hasn't always been the weather. I think sometimes I thought, oh, I'll go and sit in the garden, I'll go and sit by the pond, and it's been a bit of a wet July. Which hasn't helped. If the weather were more clement, were more warmer and drier, I think I would quite naturally just want to sit in, because I was going to go and sit in the meadows.
So you don't think there's any internal barriers for us?
Yes, I think that, of course there are. I mean, I'm looking at the external, but I guess because I've had a couple of times next to a pond this month, and that's given me some confidence that I can spend a bit more time slowing down, being more mindful, focusing on something like a pond or the nature around me.
Yeah, because I guess that was my next question. I mean, no, this is what I was pondering, and I'll just link it because it's about Walden. That was the word I used, but I could have said meditation. But I just love the Thoreau story of him at Walden Pond in Massachusetts, I think, or New Hampshire or something, and how he felt like just working, a few hours a month or something, just enough to survive, but spending most of his time just writing and sitting by the pond and enjoying that life was nourishing.
Well, I can, because this was my pondering, so it moves into my meditation that he's quite an interesting character who, like you said, spent 6 weeks of the year working, and that amassed him enough financial security to then spend the rest of his time in a log cabin next to a pond and basically just watching the pond, just kind of observing it. He watched and wondered and grew wise under the influence of the pond, living on its edges in a log shack he'd built for himself. The chosen interlude gave him an opportunity to know himself and also to put human needs and aspirations into perspective.
Yeah.
Walden Pond, that was the name.
Yeah, I think something in me really and resonates with that and thinks, wouldn't that be a beautiful way to spend your life? But then at the same time, I know I've got the scatty brain where I'm like, oh, I want to do this now. But maybe it's something that comes naturally with age, or even we could do tiny little meditations.
What do you think to this by Confucius? And this is kind of in my meditation, it's the opening quote. The wise man delights in water, the good man delights in mountains. For the wise move, but the good stay still. The wise are happy, but the good are secure.
What do I think?
Ponder on that.
It's quite nice. I like the idea of water being very flexible, and water fills any space, and so I can see that that's quite a wise sort of trait to be flexible, whereas the mountain stays still. But I don't mind mountains.
Well, it's not saying it's bad, it's saying there's security, I guess, if you put your hope in a mountain or you resonate with something that's rooted and still. Many people do in their life. They want security, they want roots, they want to stay, have that stillness. And that's good, as it says, but the Confucius saying there's wisdom in moving, in having that movement and, I guess, being agile or being open to evolving, changing.
Oh, that reminds me of a song from this month's playlist called, it's by a band called Fotheringay, and it's called The Pond and the Stream, and it tells a story of a woman who loves moving. She's very nomadic, like us, and then a woman who wants to stay in one place. And it's a very beautiful song, a bit like Joan Baez or something.
Oh, nice. Wow. Shall we move on to my
Yes.
third? So
Because your third, your
my
second was
second
meditation.
was what we was Theroux, and you talked about that, about sitting next to a pond and how we might do more of that. So that's the legacy of the pond, hopefully. My third is memory, pondering the memory of ponds. And I wanted to just create a little space because we've talked about the natural ponds, but there are other ponds we may have had in our lives. And I just was thinking about a pub in Brighton called The Pond.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to, I was just pondering over the memories of that pub. Do you remember it?
Yes, very much. I had my leaving do from a charity there, and at school, maybe. I don't know. Was it a school leaving do? Yeah. I went to there after working at that school in Eastbourne. Oh, I loved that pub. Remember going there with Eve when I first got to Brighton? Then you and I would have explored it.
We
And
did.
then it turned into one with lots of bao buns.
Yes, that was a bit of a Taiwanese link because it was a really good. They were properly done. I think it was a Thai restaurant at one point, and then it went to Chinese or Taiwanese, which was lovely. And now it's gone very crafty. It's gone all very swanky and microbrewery. So it has developed and changed itself. But I remember when I first walked in there and they had all those pots on the ceiling. That was very idiosyncratic, to just have all these old pots. And spent some times with you, times with old friends. One of my friends, I remember she got together with her now husband, and that was their first kind of time there.
They were like chamber pots. Yeah.
What's a chamber pot for?
It's like what you do a Jill Harris
Yes, I
thing.
thought so.
Or a wee wee.
Nice. Wow. So that's something to ponder in itself.
And while we're talking about memories, that's just we haven't really talked much about ponds, other ponds from our childhood, but there was a very nice pond, for example, at my grandma and granddad's house in Foxhall Road, Ipswich, and that was very beautiful. But also at in Fulmer Road, my dad had this great pond, and there were frogs and stuff in there. And I remember one of my friends fell in on my 21st
Oh.
birthday party, and I can't remember, but it was a very funny moment.
Yes, that I say I rib one of my friends in Brighton still about when we had a party, one of her house parties 10, 15 years ago, and that she fell in the pond. She absolutely denies it, but a few of us remember her falling in, which is very would be very typical of her. You know who I'm talking about.
Yes, I think so. So
Victoria, yeah. So there's memory. I thought it'd be lovely just to ponder that. Pub, and like you say, I don't have many ponds in my childhood, but ponds come in other shapes and sizes, of other forms.
All right, so over to me. My next thing to ponder is, were we destined to go to Figgate Pond? What do you think?
I think. That's an interesting question. Were we destined? I guess on one level, yes, if you believe in destiny, and on another level, it was serendipitous, and things changed in our day, and we ended up going to that park and going to that pond. I don't know if we were destined or not. What do you think?
Well, exactly. Do we believe in destiny? So, for the context, we were trying to get a bus to take us to Dr. Neil's garden in Edinburgh to visit a particular pond or loch there. And then it was just a big hoo-ha of different events, and we ended up going sailing past the way too far on this bus, and it all felt very upstream and difficult to get to this place. So instead, I realised there was another pond called Figgate Pond in Portobello, and we were getting nearer that. So we just gave up and went to Port Figgate. And actually, we haven't rated my mum's pond yet with our different pond criteria. We'll do that last thing tonight. But so far, Figgate Pond has won
I
with
think
85%.
we need to share the criteria.
Oh yeah, so
graphics.
This is out of the acronym of GOLD.
Yeah, G for graphics.
That's how it looks, the kind of aesthetic.
Yeah. O for originality. So has it got like an interesting walkway over it, or a sunken cathedral inside it, or
something? Yeah, is it significant for some reason and different to other ponds?
L for life. Has it got kingfishers and
frogs and toads
and boatmen and
the birds,
things like that, and lovely flowers coming out of it, and lilies, and Fig 8 Pond had this lotus flower, lotus area, which was beautiful. And then also that links to spirituality, because depth is the next one. Depth,
and that's not how deep the pond is physically, is it?
No, we realise that. It's more like, does it have that like special sacred energy? Does it feel magical? Has it got history to it, cultural history? Like, for example, a model boating club that's been there for hundreds of years, or has it got a sunken cathedral in it, or something?
A bit of a crossover with originality then, though, isn't there?
Yes,
a little bit. But so we will rate this pond in Leslie's back garden to that criteria after this podcast, and see if it beats
Fig 8
where we ended up.
But it's really interesting, because it was like we were just really, something was saying, don't go to Dr. Neil's garden. It's all going to go wrong if you try to go to Dr. Neil's garden. So it's destiny is almost like, if it exists, not sure if it does or not, but it's almost like you have options of things to do, but then your intuition kind of tells you if there's something that's going to work out really joyously for you. So you quite quickly learn to, when it's very clear, that intuition, you let go of the plans that you had and divert to the plans that you're being pulled towards. So in that way, it felt quite destined or serendipitous that we were there. But then I don't really know what destiny means, so I'm not sure.
I would like to believe that there is a bit of a hybrid of both, so that we have, I do believe in free will, but I also believe that there are guidances, or there is some kind of plan that is for our good, and it could be, you know, a great I'm losing my words, but you know, that there are things in that are put in our way that God or the universe or whatever we believe in kind of presents. And that they could be destiny, but we also have to make that choice, because we could have easily stuck to the plan and gone to Dr. Neil's garden. But we relented and we listened to that. So I think there's a bit of a collaborative or co-creative energy where we meet that kind of destiny and decide, yes, okay, like you say, we'll surrender to that and we'll.
And it was such a gift. It was clearly clearly felt like the right thing to do. Whether there's an objectively right thing or not, it felt like the right thing to do afterwards, because it was such a wonderful pond.
It was a beautiful pond, and there were some characters, like there was a dog. Are you going to mention
that? Oh, no, I haven't.
So there was a little fox terrier being handled by this quite melodramatic woman. She seemed quite like something out of an old 1980s soap or something, quite dolled up. And
she like Marina in Last of the Summer Wine.
Yes, exactly, that. She could be in the Colbys or something, maybe an English version. And they were going across the walkway, and this dog called Lily, she'd already said and made a passing comment. We heard that Lily had been in the pond, so we thought, okay. And then we walked kind of away from them, and then we ended up going past them again. And just as we walked past them on this this bit of jetty that went out, Lily decided to jump back into the pond, and it was perfect timing that we both saw it, and it was very dramatic.
The woman screamed and had to drag by the leash Lily out.
Yeah, all you could see, like beneath the decking, was the little paws and this nose and this little fox terrier trying to get out. And you just couldn't work out, did the dog understand that it was water? Because it was all green, it had all the algae on it, so it looked maybe solid. So did she think it was another platform to jump onto, or did she want to jump into the water again?
I feel like Lily was following the guidance from that song Splash that we've got on our playlist. Jump into the pond with me, forget about your misery. Sometimes you've got to have a little fun, jump in, splash around. But I think she was just having fun. She knew she was going to get in the water. She was living her one good life. So I think it's still me for my next one. This
Your
is
fourth.
My fourth.
Yeah.
Will this is something to ponder?
Will we swim in Hampstead Heath ponds when it's iced?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because we watched that great documentary, The Ponds, and there were people who swam, and sometimes they would go past a floating piece of ice and it would gash their stomachs open.
I would say yes, because we have done enough wild swimming in different seas and rivers and lakes in different temperatures, and we have been in really cold waters before. We're not stupid, we wouldn't just jump in, and we wouldn't go in for very long. But I think if we are in North London in the winter, we're near Hampstead Heath, I think it's very possible that we would try it.
Yeah, I think it's very probable. I think it would be an amazingly mixed experience. But I think it would be a really memorable, wonderful thing. And there's lifeguards there, so if there's any very sharp ice, I'm sure they'd rescue us.
Oh yeah, I don't think you're never really on your own there, because there's always people throughout the year who use those ponds. Yeah, we watched that documentary, which was really good. Just really, it resonated with us, didn't it? Because we understand that kind of charge and that amazing feeling of being in fresh water or being in wild water.
Never that we stay in very long.
No, but it doesn't need to be. I don't think, you know, actually I've stayed in quite long before, and I go past a point and then I just come out absolutely shivering and I don't feel amazing. I just feel close to death. But if I go in for just that blast, I feel amazing. And yes, I feel cold, but actually I feel tingly and all the sensations. Yeah. So I think you have to judge it well.
I'd love to reconnect with Hampstead Heath ponds. They are very they would get a high score if we visited them.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's me now. Over to you for your final two.
Yeah, so I'm going to ponder the lyrics of a song, and I'm really pleased that this song, I've got the lyrics, so I'm going to read them out. But it's by
Justin Timberlake.
No, I've lost it actually. I thought I had.
I thought we were going to ponder the deeper meaning of Breeze Off the Pond by Justin Timberlake.
Well, if you want to. But no, it's not. It's by Joe Kenkel, who's... Now, I am actually going to look at an artist next, but he is another artist. He's a singer whom I've discovered, and I'm really pleased because I've been reading up about him, and there's something about him that reminds me of Elliot Smith, who's an American singer who's now no longer with us.
Is he not?
No, he committed suicide about 20 years ago.
Oh, I thought he recently released something. I must be getting maybe stuck with...
posthumously, but not. He's not alive. But this Joe Kenkel is of that ilk, and just in listening to this song and some of these songs, so it's very deep, and I love the lyrics. I wonder if we could ponder them. So he says, between the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th hours of the morning, watch for the imposing river to wind south and spool into me. I, the grandchild, a great grandchild of construction, waste taking up space. But I did not wind up down here to make you wiser. I wound up down here ponding, growing wider, wider. What do you think?
I've really thought all month. I've heard that song, but I've never really thought about the lyrics. I did not wind down here to make you wiser. I wound down here ponding, growing wider, wider. It makes me think of, you know, we're like souls, and we come into this life, and then in our experience we grow more and more of our kind of personality and our identity, and our kind of unique experience of life becomes part of our who we are in this temporary earth experience. So I think that's what he means, that his soul is becoming a person, and it's becoming wider and broader.
Interesting that he alludes to this word wiser. I didn't come down here to make you wiser. And Confucius talked about those who focus on the water are wiser. But it's an interesting take on that. I don't know if he knew that, but I love this. I didn't even know that ponding was a verb, to pond. Did you know that?
I don't know if it's officially a verb.
I've looked it up.
What does it mean?
It means to create a pond, to like
to make a dam or to make a pond, to create a pond.
Okay.
So your mum was ponding when she was making this pond. But yes, there's definitely a sense of his, maybe the metaphor of the pond and him becoming wider. And I read a review about it, and it reviews the whole album it comes off, and it says the record closes with the lush, folky pond, which winds through the tributaries of natural's tides to confidently pull us out towards the world, reaching a sonic and lyrical outpouring as Kenkel repeats wide, wider, and the fingerpick guitar tethers us to a sprawling atmosphere, conjuring intimacy from uncertainty and humour from reality. Natural's 10 songs wash us up on the beach of something wholly rare and beautiful, one that grows wider with each visit.
Ooh.
So I'm now going to have a song from his album.
Ooh.
That's the Legacy. But it's the last song on this Natural album. And I think it alludes to kind of just growing and becoming more yourself, becoming who you are, who you're meant to be, which is what the journey we're on. And the pond is something he's using as a metaphor.
Mm.
So that's the lyrics I wanted to ponder with you.
Very good. I will listen even more carefully later when we do our final songs, or kind of a roundup of them. And so it's your final one, isn't it? What's the last thing you want to ponder?
I'm going to ponder another artist called Will Sharp.
Oh, yeah.
And he is an actor. Well, he's actually a director, producer. He's only 36. So he's done quite a lot behind the camera as well as being an actor. And he was in a film called Black Pond, which was quite, I think he directed it or he wrote it, and he was certainly acting in it. And it was a bit off the cuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a black humour.
I won't give the plot away, but it was just quite a British film, and a little bit of a murder mystery come, you know, folky tale around a family, and he's kind of attached to the family. But I watched Flowers, which was a TV programme currently on Netflix, and he's in that. And then I've gotten to know him a bit more, a bit like Joe Kenkel, the singer, and quite like his work, because he writes quite a lot of things. And so Black Pond was part of that, and wanted to ponder his works and get to know him a bit more.
Mm. Yeah, I am interested about that. I didn't expect you to say that, but no, looking back at the film, he was a standout aspect of it, I think, his strange presence there, and very, very British in a way, very deadpan, and very funny, his interactions with Simon Amstel, and the way he fell in love with two girls at the same time, and told
sisters.
Them both.
Yeah.
Yeah, jolly good.
Okay, that's my last one. And what would you like to share as your last thing to ponder?
The last thing for us to ponder.
Us to ponder, sorry.
Well, we need to talk about Quilkgate.
Oh, you've saved the best to last, I see.
Yeah, so this is where I was giggling earlier. But, like, we went to the Quilk.
I think you need to explain what the Quilk is.
The Quilk is, we were going down from Orkney to Edinburgh, a long, long journey, dramatic journey, with us being towed off the ferry with leaking oil and stuff. But eventually we're there. And
that never leaked. It was petrol that's never, I've never seen.
Well,
I mean, that's a curious case in itself, isn't it?
It is very curious. But, and then Moogie was close to death, probably, because she was so exhausted.
Oh, she was fine. She's intrepid.
And so she was sort of heaving with anxiety next to us.
No, she's not. Stop it. That's not the story I'm going to weave. She's absolutely fine.
And we were exhausted. And then we were like, well, oh, but it's pond month. We have to see a pond. So we were.
It's the first of the month. Remember, it was 1st of July.
It was the 1st of July. So yeah. we were like, well, there's a pond here, and it takes us off the road a bit. And what was the town called, do you remember?
Pitlochry.
And it sounded like a nice pond called the Quilk. And even though it was going to add 20 minutes onto our journey, and we were tired and we just wanted to get there, we were like, well, let's just do it. And we got there, and it was just like a nourishing, wonderful thing. And it was a beautiful pond. We got grass from Moogie, so she perked up quick smart. And we had a little rest and recharge, because you were you're getting a bit tired of driving.
Mm.
So, and it was just a really nice, and I felt, call it Quilk Gate, not because it's like Watergate?
Yes.
Or, you know, all these gates. Not because it was something like that, like a bad thing, like a scandal, but because it was like a gateway into the month. And it was a really, and it was well worth doing. That 20 minutes out of our life, I think really was like an alchemical golden gateway into the month. And if we hadn't done that, I don't know, we could have had an awful month.
I don't think so, but you know, it's something to ponder then.
So anyway, what do you think about that, like the way should we always make that little effort to make the first day a bit special?
Oh, well, if possible, of course, it depends what's happening on that first day, but yeah, I guess you're right, we need to make an effort. I absolutely agree. The first day, let it start with a bang, so to speak. It's worth making that effort. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So that's good. And then
are you suggesting something for tomorrow, the 1st of August?
Let's see. But yeah, but that leads us in, because that's our 10 things to ponder about ponds that kind of leave a legacy for us. So thank you, Leslie. Great theme for pond life. And now we're going to move over to, I think, is it your theme? Yes, it's your theme. You chose it.
Did I?
Yeah, but other people have put it in before.
I think you and I actually chose it.
No, I chose hundreds and thousands.
No, but you agreed that this would be a good theme when we were in Orkney, because we got a stone with it inscribed on the stone and thought that would be a nice theme.
Oh, yeah.
So we kind of both wanted it, but I officially put it in, so...
But yeah, bees has got its moment. It's been suggested a few times. And yeah, so it's bees. August bees.
Yeah, the bees of August, but we'll be August bees. And very similar to ponds, I feel that there will be some mindful moments just sitting and watching the bees.
Yeah, well, yeah, this is a good challenge for me to be more mindful than I was during pond month, because I don't want to be a busy bee and always be making a bee line for my next activity.
You just need to be still.
Oh, honey.
Okay, enough.
So we're going to enjoy Bee Month. And thank you, listeners.
Listener.
We hope you enjoy your Bee Month.
Thank you, Moogie, for sitting with us and tolerating this. We hope you, as always, have had a beautiful month and continue to into the new month of August 2023. If you are listening to this and you want to find out more, then where do they go, Josh?
www.theforgottengame.com. And that's where you find out what the month's theme is, and you can learn how to suggest and vote for other themes and listen to the playlist and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, we wish you all lots of love. And
yeah.
Be happy. Bye.
Bye. Life theme.